Luke chapter number 7. We're going to look at verses 11 through 17 tonight. Luke chapter number 7. We're in the midst of a series as we head up to our Friend Day. The title of our Friend Day this year is Since I Met Jesus. We're talking about the life that Jesus can make in an individual's life. The change, that Jesus can make in an individual's life. We first looked at the maniac of Gadara, how God, once he met Jesus Christ, he went from being a maniac to a missionary. Then we also looked at the story of Saul becoming Paul, how he was a self-righteous individual, trusting in his own works, how he became from self-righteous to a servant. And tonight, the title of the message is From Death to Deliverance. From Death to Deliverance. And how each person, because of the sin nature that has passed on through Adam, is headed and is spiritually death and headed to a horrible place called hell. But Jesus Christ, if you meet him, you put your faith and trust in him, you become a Christian, he can deliver you from this spiritual death. And it's a wonderful story about Jesus meeting a funeral procession coming out of the city of Nain, and there's a young man that has died, and his mom is a widow, so she's already lost her husband. And as this procession is headed out the city to the graveyard, Jesus Christ is coming the other way. And what a wonderful story, a wonderful picture of when we meet Jesus Christ, how we move from death unto life. And tonight I pray that God will speak to your heart. The Bible even says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, that believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And that's just a wonderful thought. And tonight I pray you to be encouraged as a believer, as a Christian, that you have moved from death unto life, that no longer are we under that spiritual death, no longer are we under the bondage of sin, no longer do we have to be sold under sin, but we've been delivered from all that. And I pray that you can be excited about that, and you be excited to walk out of here saying, I want to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. And that's the idea of the whole series. I was honest with you at the beginning, is to get us excited about the change that Jesus has made in our life. And there should be a change. Once you meet Jesus Christ, the Bible says we become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the change that Jesus Christ has made in me, I should want to go tell the rest of the world my story. When we hear this story in Luke chapter number 7, after it's all said and done, believe me, the mom had a story to tell, the little boy had a story to tell, all the people who were there had a story to tell. It even talked how it was published throughout the countryside. They all had a story to tell. And as a Christian, if you're a believer, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you've gone from death unto life, we have a story to tell too. And that's the idea here. Since I met Jesus, we want to tell the world, especially our friends and family, that look what happened to me since I met Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and look here in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 7. The Bible says, and it came to pass the day after. Now, the day after what? Well, the day before that, Jesus had healed a centurion's servant. Remember, this is a story where it talked about how Jesus marveled at the faith that the centurion had. And it only talks about twice in the Bible where Jesus marveled. It was once because of the faith of the centurion, and once because of the unbelief of the Israelites, or the nation of Israel. Verse number 11, once again, it came to pass the day after. So this group was excited. This multitude was happy. They were with Jesus. They had smiles on their faces. They knew they were following the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And they were excited because what he had did the day before. That he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. So there's a great crowd there. Now, verse number 12, it sees that kind of paints a picture because, first of all, and it's the first point of the message, it was a time of death. It was a time of death. When Jesus enters in that day, the joyous moment, that movement that was with him is meeting up with a movement that is sad, the group that's sad. It says, then when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And we think about this, Jesus' group is excited. They got the Son of God with them. They're excited about what's going on. But death has taken this small community. There was no beauty that day in the name. Death had invaded this young town, the small town, and actually had captured one of his younger people and had killed him. We're told that this man is a victim of death. We're also told about his mother. Not only was she losing her only son, but she had already lost her husband, and what death had done to this woman. This is a great crowd of mourners. I want you to picture it here. The custom of that day, at least by my research, the custom of that day, the grieving mother or the widow, whoever it was, would be leading the procession. Then passed behind the procession, you would have the actual coffin. They followed behind. They carried an open coffin that in that day. Behind them were those that were mourning for the boy's death. And there's a great crowd there. If they did not have enough people to mourn the death, they actually would pay people. And these people would walk behind and they would be crying out loud. They would be lamenting out loud. They would be even chanting phrases of grief and mourning. And then if there was more that was left, maybe some friends and relatives that did not want to do the mourning, they would be following and bringing up the rear. So this is a pretty sad sight. You got a mom who is already, her husband would be much easier if her husband was right there, but she's already lost her husband. Now she's lost her own child. There's no one there walking with her. And behind her, she has her son's dead body. And behind them, she has people who are mourning, maybe people she had to pay to mourn. And then she has her friends and family all coming out this crowd. So you have Jesus coming one way. You have this crowd going another way. In verse number 13, and when the Lord saw her, it says he had compassion on her. This word compassion means that having someone else's hurt in your heart. And this is what the Lord has compassion on this woman. He obviously knows everything going on. He knows that she's a widow. He knows it's her son behind him. And he said unto her, weep not. Now, if we were standing there that day, we probably would say, that's kind of a strange thing to tell a woman who had lost her son. But Jesus knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew that he was going to heal and raise his son from the dead. Verse 14, and he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Wow, I don't know about you, but I don't get over that. That is just exciting, the fact that there was someone who was dead. He was gone. No breath in him. He couldn't hear the mournings. He couldn't hear the mourning of his mother. He couldn't hear the tears. He couldn't see any of this. But Jesus speaks to him, and he rises up. He sits up. And it says, began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And verse 16 says, there came a fear on all. You know, I don't know about you, but when God does a great work, sometimes there's a fear that falls upon us. When we see God move, when we see God speak to our hearts, and to me, we shouldn't get used to that. That's something that we should be interested in hearing and seeing and desiring to hear the voice of God, desiring to see God work in us. And it says, they glorify God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us and that God have visited his people. Now, it's kind of interesting that they say that a prophet has risen up among them. They didn't give Jesus Christ his due. At this moment in time, there maybe this group that had seen this was not believing it, that he was God, as the Bible says he was. But they did give praise and glory to God that God have visited his people. And as I said, if this happened, boy, there would be a story to tell, wouldn't there? If Jesus had came and he had raised someone from the dead, there would be a story to tell. And that's what it says in verse 17. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. What does that mean? It means that they went out and they told everybody that Jesus had raised this boy from the dead. Tonight, as we look at this, I want us to understand from death to deliverance. If you're a believer here tonight, you were spiritually dead at one point in time and you've been delivered from that. You had the exact same testimony that this boy does. His was a physical death, but ours was from a spiritual death. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord's help tonight as we preach. Lord, speak to hearts. God, we know that we need you. We know we need to hear from you. Lord, I pray you work in the hearts and lives of each and every person that's here, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, from those that may be unsaved to those that may be the closest to you. God, we can all learn something from you tonight. We can all rejoice in the raising of this boy, but Lord, we can also rejoice so much more in what you've done in our own lives. Help us be excited when we leave to want to go tell the world the change that we had since we met you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, point number one, it was a time of death. It was a time of death. And I want to go back and I want you to try to understand that it is hard to lose anyone. It is hard to lose a loved one, especially when someone's in their 70s or their 80s or their 90s. You know, our hearts are gripped. We are devastated when we lose someone who's close to us. But when you lose a child or a young man, boy, that it even adds to it many times. You think about it, this young man whose life was filled with great potential, He may have had hopes of marriage. He wanted to keep the line going for his father who passed away. Maybe he wanted to father his children, but now he is dead. There may have been plans of how he was going to start his own business to support himself and his widowed mother, but he's dead. The bright gleams that used to be in his eyes, full of youth, now are dulled by death. The mind that had hoped and dreamed was stilled by a cold embrace of death. That voice that had laughed and cried had been silenced forever. Death has come and has brought with it all its cruelness and heartache. It possesses, and what it can do to an individual's life is devastating. And here you say, Pastor, where do we apply this to our lives? Well, let's think about it. Where did death come from? Back in the book of Genesis, God told Adam, he said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. See, death has been part of the human experience ever since man sinned in the garden. And ever since Adam chose to go his own way instead of God's way, there has been death that's been passed along. The Bible even puts it this way, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment, that death has been passed along all mankind. Genesis 5:5 tells us something. He says, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. 930 years. So that was a long life. It was a long life. But the death that they were talking about in the garden wasn't a physical death. I know at that moment in time, his body began to die. He began to lose his life, and he went down. But it is also speaking of a spiritual death, a separation from God. Well, think about it this way. When Adam ate of the fruit, most of us, if we would have heard that, we would have thought, he'd die just like that. He'd be gone. But that didn't happen. That was over 900 years beforehand. He began to gradually die. But there was a spiritual death. There was a deadening of his spiritual that was eternally separated from God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And that speaks of a spiritual death. And it talks about how the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That verse doesn't refer to the death of the body, but it refers to the eternal destiny of the lost soul in a horrible place called hell. Eternally separated from God. See, death has been passed down to all men through Adam, with the exclusion of Jesus Christ because he was virgin born. And because of that, death has been passed down upon us. That means that we are all, once we are born, headed to a horrible place called hell. And we need deliverance from this spiritual death. But we cannot find deliverance in ourselves. Just as that dead boy was in that inside that casket, that coffin, or that brier, whatever they call it, he could not get up on his own. I'm sure the people that were carrying him, if they could have healed him, they would. I'm sure those that were mourning, at least the ones that hadn't got paid for it, they would have healed him. Those that were following behind, if they could have, they would have healed him. The mother, for sure, would have never let her husband die if she had any choice. She would have helped the boy, and she would have raised the boy if she could, but there was no one that could offer deliverance but Jesus Christ. And here's the point, when we come to this story, and we come to this understanding, since I met Jesus, there is something that he can do that no one else can do. He can take us from death to deliverance. Ephesians 2:1 puts it this way, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. See, dying in this world is one thing, but spending eternity in a horrible place called hell, separated from the presence of God with no hope of salvation, is much, much more tragic. This evening, I want us to understand it was a time of death. And that every man is under this sentence of death. Not only was it a time of death, it was a time of desperation. Time of desperation. Pastor, what do you mean? Well, you think about what the verse says. It says, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Now, when you think about it, think about how desperate this woman must have been. There was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people, now you think about it here, she was a widow. Here's a woman who has already felt the icy hand of death when it took her husband from her. The only things remaining from her marriage maybe was a few memories and a son that her and her husband had brought into the world. Now her precious son is following behind her in a death procession. But there is more than just the death of the beloved son. Back in this day and time, the poor woman has no one left to care for her in her old age. Back then there was no type of welfare, no type of assistance available to the widows like we have today. It was the woman's children, especially her son's responsibility to care for her in her declining years. But she has no one left. She is all alone. helpless and caught in a desperate situation. She has nothing to look forward to except poverty and despair. She is at the mercy of the people's kindness. She has nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. She finds herself trapped in a helpless condition. Say, Pastor, what does that have to do with us and what death does? Well, see, just as the boy represents a spiritual death, I think that this mother's case represents the desperation that we are in as sinners. See, Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." But listen to the desperation that we were in as sinners. "Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That paints a pretty desperate picture. That paints the picture that we were having to walk according to the lust of this world. We were under the control of the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself, the spirit that now worketh into children of disobedience. Our conversations in time past was according to the lust of our flesh. We fulfilled the desires of our flesh and the desires of our mind. We were by nature the children of wrath. That is a pretty desperate description of where we are. And see, I believe this woman's in a desperate spot. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that Jesus had compassion on her. Look what it says in verse 13. "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her." See, in our flesh, we manifest these type of things. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, it says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strength, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And the Bible is saying that our flesh is forced to do these things. If you never trusted Jesus for salvation, you're in the same shape of this poor woman. You're set and trapped in your circumstances. You're powerless to change. You have nothing to look forward to but a life of bondage to sin and the whims of the world and the flesh and the devil. Then after you die, you're headed to a horrible place called hell. That is a very desperate situation. And that's the separate situation this woman was in. So not only do we see it was a time of death and a time of desperation, but last but not least, it was a time of deliverance. And this is the one I like. It was a time of deliverance. Thank God the story doesn't end there. Thank God the story doesn't end with the death position. Thank God that the story doesn't end with this woman and as a desperate mother. This little band of mourners was making their way out of the town, going to the cemetery, but they met another group of people. A group of people was making their way into town. The first group was weeping over the death of a young man. The second group was rejoicing over the power of Jesus Christ and demonstrated the healing of the centurion's servant. The first group was led by a sobbing mother. The second group was led by the sovereign master. And when these two groups met at the gate of the cities of Nain, it was a time of death for one and a time of desperation for another, but it became a time of deliverance in their life. And this is the same thing that happens to us, is that when we met Jesus Christ, we were spiritually dead. We were desperate. We had no choice, no way to help. But when we met Jesus Christ, it went from being a time of death and a time of desperation to a time of deliverance. What Jesus Christ did for us when we became Christians was huge. It is unimaginable what he has delivered us from. And I tell you, we should never get over the joy of our salvation. We should never get used to the fact that we're saved and on our way to heaven. We should never get used to the fact we've been delivered from hell. We should never get used to the fact that we've been delivered from the bondage of sin. We should never get used to that. And we should get to the point where I want to tell people about the day I met Jesus. We should get to the point where we say, Jesus Christ did this for me, and I want to tell you about it. But we've gotten over it. We've gotten cold to it many times. We've gotten cold to it so many times that people don't want to tell anybody about it. We've gotten so cold sometimes that people don't even want to come to church anymore and sing about the praises and hear about the man who did this for us. We've become so cold that we're worried and focused so much on ourselves. I want you to think about some of the things that met. I think about the two groups. One group was headed to the cemetery. The other group was headed to the city. It's the same way about life. There are two groups of people out there. One group that is lost in their sins and headed to hell. And then there's another group that is headed to a glorious city. That's because what Jesus Christ did for them. Which one of those two groups are you? Which one of those two groups are you in? Think about the two sufferers that met. One was a brokenhearted widow who was going to the burial of her only son. The other was the Lamb of God. who came to this world to suffer rejection, crucifixion, and death for the sins of the world. We think about the two sons that were met. There was one that was a son of man, and he was dead, and there was no hope for him. The other was a son of God, and he was and is the Prince of Life. You think about the two enemies that met. First was the enemy of death. He had invaded and devastated this little family. The other was life, when he the same had defeated death and drove him away. See, Jesus Christ, he brings us out of death into life. He delivers us from a hopeless condition. He causes us to demonstrate the characters of his life. As we've been learning about on Wednesday night, because of the fact that we have Jesus Christ living in us, we can produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those different things, those things that we think are out of our reach. Jesus Christ has delivered us from the bondage of sin. And he says, if you will abide in me, if you'll walk in the Spirit, you can produce the same fruits that the Jesus Christ himself produced. Praise the Lord about that. In other words, Jesus delivers us from death and desperation of our sins and brings us into a glorious liberty of his life. We can be set free. No longer are we under that bondage of sin and death. No longer do we have to follow our flesh. No longer do we have to listen to the prince of the power of the air. We have been set free. We have been delivered by Jesus Christ. And we have something to be excited about. We have something to rejoice over. He's taken our bodies that was spiritually dead and physically dying and desperate because of our sin natures and given us liberty to live for him. Jesus moved in grace and power and broke up this little funeral procession. He gave that son back to his mother and restored this family. He gave them hope in a place where there was fear. He gave them life in a place where there was death. He gave them everything they needed to turn around and go home with joy in their hearts. And what Jesus Christ did that day in this city of Nain, he did one day in my life as well. I was dead in my sins. I was in a desperate condition. But he came in with grace and turned my death and my desperation into a time of deliverance. He is my Savior. What love, what grace he has demonstrated. Who am I not to want to tell someone else about it? I mean, he deserves to be told. The story deserves to be told. I think about this little boy, and I wonder that, I call him a little boy because in my mind, I picture him a little boy. It says a man was carried out, but Jesus says young man. So you can pick whatever age group you want on there. If you want to make him in his early 20s or his 13s or his teens or his child, I like to think of him as a young person somewhere in the ages 10 to 13. But think about the story he had to tell. I mean, think about it. He faced death. And I know we see these stories about this little boy that went up to heaven and came back, and they write these books. And I tell you, if it's contrary to what the Bible says, it's just not true. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to disappoint anybody who read the book or seen a movie or whatever. If there's things in it differently than what the Bible says, then I believe people can be very sincere, but I believe people can be sincerely deceived at the same time. If it's contrary to what the Bible says, then I'm not going to believe it. But you imagine what this little boy had the story to tell, you know, that, you know, my mom was there. She was up there walking all by herself. My friends were carrying me. The casket was there. I had been dead for a period of time. And there was this great crowd that was mourning behind me. And this man came and he spoke to me and he told me to rise up. And I sat up. I mean, can you imagine the story he had to tell? And he probably told the whole world. It says, and this rumor of him, verse 17, went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region around about. He told everyone. Everyone was there. It says that they glorified God, and they told everyone about all the things that happened to them and the change that was made in his life. I can imagine the mother weeping. I can imagine, I don't know what the boy said when he sat up and began to speak. I don't know what he said as I was studying. I read some people who says, I think he said this, I think he said that. Some even use songs that haven't been written. I bet you he sang something like this to Jesus, you know. But I think he talked to his mother. And I think his mother in tears just went over and wept. And it says Jesus delivered the boy unto him. I don't know if he picked him up and gave, I don't know the whole thing. I just know the mother has a really cool story to tell. He has something that's exciting to tell and exciting to say, look what Jesus did for my son. Look what Jesus did for me. I was desperate. I had no hope. I didn't know what I was going to do next. But Jesus, he did this for me. And I tell you, if we remember where we're from, sometimes we get so high and mighty and high and lifted up, we forget where we came from. We look down upon people and say, man, they're not worth saving. Man, they're not even worth telling about Jesus. Man, you know what? I'm thankful nobody felt that way about me. I'm thankful that my Sunday school teachers kept on telling me I needed Jesus. I'm thankful for preachers that got up and preached the gospel and said, if you're lost and you're dying in your sins, you need Jesus Christ. Come to him. Come to him because he can deliver your soul. So tonight, we get from death to deliverance since I met Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart to save you? I don't care if you're 5 all the way up to 100. I don't care if you've been to church hundreds of times or this is your first or second time. The Bible says that all men are spiritually dead, lost, and they're dead in trespasses and sin. But Jesus Christ can deliver you from that. Jesus Christ came and paid your sin penalty for you. He tasted death for every man so that they could be delivered from the bondage and from the penalty of sin. And this evening, if you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart, in just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. Come forward. I'll be standing down front, and I encourage you to come forward, and we'll have somebody take a Bible and show you and tell you from the Bible, not from what I said, but from what the Bible says, how you can become a Christian even tonight. And you can be delivered from the bondage of sin, the penalty of sin, everything. You can be delivered just like this boy was done spiritually. Physically, we can be done spiritually. And to the believers in the room, I know most people here would profess to be a Christian. And don't get me wrong, everyone had to come to a point where they realized they were a sinner and cried out to God, young or old. So don't be ashamed because maybe everybody else is here a believer. People will rejoice with you. People had to go through the exact same thing to be able to be a Christian. They had to come and say, I need Jesus Christ. But if you're here and you're a Christian, boy, I don't know how we can get over what God did for us. But so often we do. We lose sight of what we were and what he delivered us from. And we need to be willing to tell other people. I know it's something to be, sometimes people are apprehensive about it. Sometimes people feel like they just don't know what to say or they don't feel like they're talented enough. But you know what? The Lord gave the Great Commission to the world, gave it the Great Commission to the church. He said, go you into all the world. He said about preaching the gospel to every creature. Nowhere do I see that he let anybody off the hook. I know he didn't say just pastors and just missionaries and just deacons and just teachers and just this. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where, and no one's ever showed me a spot in the Bible that says, Jesus said it's okay for this group not to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. I don't see where it says, but I see over and over where he tells people to go. He told that church in that beginning, that whole group, he said that saw him go up, he said, go into all the world. So I think it's a commission to each and every person to be able to tell people. He said, well, I can't use all those verses like you do. All he wants you to do is be a witness. Tell them what happened to you since you met Jesus. Tell them, hey, this is what I was before I became a Christian. This is what brought me to becoming a Christian. And this is what Jesus Christ has done for me since I've been a Christian. It's your testimony. I was lost. I was under the bondage of sin. I had no hope within. I saw my sins. I knew I was headed to a horrible place called hell. I looked to Jesus Christ. I repented of my sins. I cried out to God and he saved my soul. Now I can have joy. Now I can have peace. Now I've been delivered from the bondage of sin. That's what we got to tell people. But me saying it doesn't mean something to some people. But you saying it to an individual, you living a life, a changed life in front of someone, can show somebody, look, this is what God did for me since I met him. I tell you, if you live a life that was changed and you see the change, it won't be hard to believe. Those people that knew that that boy was dead and they saw him alive, they says, there's something that happened to him. Yesterday he was in that brier. Now he's standing up walking around. There's something that happened to him. And I know people's testimonies. I've seen it in many people's lives where they were, you can just see the change that happened to them. There should be a change. And if you've let your life slide, maybe you're backslidden to the point where the change is no longer evident, man, God didn't do anything wrong when he saved you. But you need to learn and understand that you can break your fellowship of God and you can look like we saw a lot this morning, far from what a believer looks like. But no one's going to listen to Lot, are they? No one's going to listen to Lot and say, well, this is the change that God made in my life. When he went to tell his son-in-laws, they laughed at him. And many times that's what happens because we live such a worldly life. Sodom's still in us so much, our old lifestyle so much in us, that when we tell somebody about the change Jesus made, and they say, what change? I don't see anything. You look like me. You act like me. You say the same things I do. You go to the same places. You tell the same dirty jokes. You watch the same things. What change in your life? There's no peace. There's no this. There's no that. You know what? There was a change that happened in your life. Let God continue to work in your heart and life. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.